fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Well, I certainly hope so. Motivational magic from Stuart Smalley, a.k.a. Senator Al Franken, now starting the show. Hey, we're going to all try to get a little smarter today. We're going to talk about five ways that being Catholic makes you smarter. And I know I need every single brain cell I can get functioning at peak capacity, or else things are going to get pretty bad. So give me a call, 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And you can also tweet at me, of course, on Twitter. C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. That's how you spell my name. That's my Twitter handle, at Cale Clark. We also have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. Follow that one. And the email address is cale@relevantradio.com. Yeah, I was talking about this article with a friend. I really thought it was impressive. It was by Brett McCracken. It was about five ways the church makes you wiser. And we really do need the church to make us wise, because along with the Word of God, we do need the teaching of the church as this repository of truth that we can constantly draw upon. And obviously, the church, to a lot of people, seems irrelevant at best, harmful at worst. A lot of people think that it's possible to have spirituality without the institutional church, without religion. You hear this all the time. We've talked about this over the last few days. People saying, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, this is all bogus. By the way, the word religion, I don't know if you know what this means, but the word religion means to bind oneself. The Latin word from which we get the word religion in English means to bind oneself. And that's what we have to do. We have to bind ourselves to Jesus Christ. It's like when Mary Magdalene grabbed onto his feet after the resurrection. We want to bind ourselves to Jesus. We want to grab him and not let him go. Be united to him. That's what it's all about. It's about being united to the person of Christ. A lot of people say, well, how can the church make us wise? Isn't the church full of sinners? Isn't the church full of abuses of power? Yes, I mean, we can multiply examples. The church is full of sinners. And Pope Francis has said that the church is a field hospital for sinners. Absolutely. It always has been. Don't forget, Judas was one of the 12. Every time we hear about some sort of an abuse case, as horrific as they may be, these things always shock us, and they're incredibly disappointing, but they should never shake our faith, because our faith shouldn't be based on humanity. It should be based on God, specifically the God-man, Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is that the church is like a lighthouse on the shore. That's a beacon for us, because we live in this age that's like being tossed on a restless sea. And we need the wisdom, the eternal wisdom. It's like this lighthouse on a rock of the Catholic Church, especially as we're being pummeled, not by the waves, but by everything, the maelstrom that's coming at us from the digital era. So we should be running to the church. People should be running to the church for wisdom, not away from it. And there are five ways that Brett McCracken talks about that we can get smarter from the church. Well, the first thing is, the church offers us the wisdom of community in an individualistic age. And when we look at the culture today, it's said that we live in a post-Christian society and also a post-truth society, whatever that means. And usually that means that the individual is the locus of truth, or your truth. You know, there's his truth, her truth, your truth, my truth. Follow your truth. Live your truth. Follow your heart. But that's a bad guide. You know, following your heart, according to the scriptures, is not a good idea at all. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. We have fickle emotions. We have faulty understanding. We are darkened by sin in many ways. So following one's heart, that's actually pretty bad advice, to tell you the truth. So it may seem counterintuitive, but committing yourself to the wisdom and guidance of the church is actually quite freeing. It frees you from yourself. It frees you from being an individual. It lets you be part of something bigger than yourself with a lot of people who are not like you. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We have this church that's called Catholic, and the word Catholic means universal, of course. So it's important for us to get out of the echo chamber in our own minds and associate with other people from all around the world, from every tribe, nation, and tongue, yet we share this one Catholic faith. Because sometimes we spend a lot of time, and Brett McCracken talks about this, we spend a lot of time only talking to people who think the way that we do, and we confirm our own biases in that way. It's kind of like if you've ever been on Twitter, if you're only chatting with people who have the same point of view, sometimes you don't really learn anything. And so we need the wisdom of the universal church, not just people that are alive now, but we need the democracy of the dead. You know, we need those who have gone before us. And this comes to us through the wisdom of sacred tradition in God's church. So we got to get rid of this individualistic mindset. And this is rife in the Protestant world. I remember when I was in the evangelical world, and even now when I talk to my evangelical friends, I would ask them, you know, why do you go to the particular congregation that you go to worship? Why do you go to this church? And I use the word church, of course, loosely here. To be a church, you need to have all seven sacraments. So really, the only churches out there are the Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches of the East. They're separated from us because they don't have union with the Pope anymore, but they do they can be legitimately called churches. They have valid bishops, valid priests, valid sacraments. So when I ask people, why do you go to that congregation as opposed to another one? Very often, they'll say things like this. I like the preaching. I like the music. I like the fact that it has a nursery program for my kids. I like the fact that it has a youth group for my teenagers, or whatever the case may be. But the common denominator is always I. It's what I like. It's what I want. It's what I get out of it. Well, what about the worship that God wants? What about what God does? Does his opinion matter here? Do his desires count? And there is a way that God wants to be worshipped, that he likes to be worshipped, and it's called the Mass. It's called the Liturgy of the Mass. And in fact, if you sign up for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons, shameless commercial here, if you sign up for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, this is actually great. I'm advertising this because I want you to get this. This is amazing. He's going to be breaking down the different parts of the Mass in his Lenten Lessons. It's going to be delivered to your inbox every single day in Lent, starting Wednesday, because believe it or not, Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 17th of February, is Ash Wednesday 2021. Wow, it's here already. So you're going to want to get prepared. And then one of the best ways to do that is to take some time and focus on the greatest prayer of the church, which is the Mass. So Father Rocky's going to help you do that. Plus, there's bonus video content behind the scenes that Father Rocky's going to share. He's never done this before, but this bonus content is really going to help you to learn the Mass even better. So you're going to want to share this with a friend as well. Tell them about it and sign up. Just click on the banner at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons. And so the Mass is, in fact, the way that God wants to be worshipped. And doing it your way isn't going to get you very far. You need the church. You need community to help you become wiser than you would be alone. And so this is what we need. So that's point number one. How can the church make us smarter? The wisdom of community in an individualistic age. Point number two, the second way that being Catholic can make us smarter. We need the wisdom of God-centered rhythms of life in a me-centered age. We have rituals in the Catholic Church. There are things that we should be doing every week, at the very minimum, going to Sunday Mass. That's the Sunday obligation. That's the baseline. You're not being a hero by going to Sunday Mass. This is the, you know, and obviously some people can't right now because of the pandemic. We were relegated to worshiping online, but we do the best we can do. But under normal circumstances, this is not a heroic measure, going to Sunday Mass. It's the bare minimum. So we've got this weekly obligation, the Sunday obligation. And obviously some people try to go to Mass every day. And the more you can go to Mass during the week, the better your spiritual life will be, especially if you can receive communion frequently, because it's Christ himself Being united to Christ is the pinnacle experience on this planet. It's heaven on earth, receiving Christ in the Eucharist. So we've got things that we do every week and things that we do every day, every hour. We should be doing something every minute, which is practicing the presence of God, understanding that we are in His presence at all times and recognizing that. And sometimes taking part in this plan of life, not just Sunday worship, but also making time every day for prayer, for the rosary. And one way you can do that is right here on Relevant Radio, the Family Rosary Across America, which is coming up very soon this evening. There's my show, and then there's Timmery's show, and after that, it's the Family Rosary Across America with Karen Moran and, of course, Father Rocky. And that's a great way to do it. You can pray with so many of our Relevant Radio family members all across the United States and around the world. A daily rosary, daily scripture reading. We need these rhythms of life to soak in wisdom from God on a regular basis. And we need that. We need that formation in the faith because I talked earlier about a lighthouse on the shore, and that's really what the Catholic Church is. Well, when waves beat against the rocks on the shore, over time they become smooth. Their rockiness, their cragginess gets kind of washed away, and they become very slippery. And I grew up in a place on the east coast of Canada called Nova Scotia, and there's a very famous lighthouse at a place called Peggy's Cove. There was, unfortunately, a terrible plane crash that happened there some years ago, a Swiss Air Flight 101, I believe it was, and many died off the shores of Peggy's Cove, and many others have died just slipping off the rocks by the lighthouse because the stones are so smooth by the Atlantic Ocean that people, they venture too close, and they get washed away. And we don't want that to happen to us in the spiritual life. We don't want to get washed away. And that constant pressure from the culture is like those waves that lap against the shore and beat on those rocks and make them smooth. And so we need to build ourselves back up again through our most holy faith, through our formation in the faith. And so this is what our Catholic faith can do to you. When we have these rhythms of life, these Catholic practices that we do, that we take part in, we realize that we're becoming part of a community of faith, a community of saints. And that's so different from this narcissistic culture that we live in, where everybody is out for number one. As St. Paul said in one of his letters, I believe it was one of his letters to Timothy, he said, everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And we live in a world of social media, Instagram likes, Facebook likes, retweets, and people are kind of narcissistic, let's face it. And the church reminds us, it's not about you, it's about God. It is about you only in the fact that you need to be who God has created you to be. And that's how you're going to really be free and happy. So we spend a lot of time talking about ourselves, social media, YouTube, whatever. When we worship God, it lets us talk about Him. It lets us talk to Him. We can sing about His attributes. We can pray about His love and mercy. And we celebrate it in the liturgy, in the Mass, in our creeds, in our prayers. We're taking the focus off of ourselves and putting it on God, where it belongs. When we read the scriptures, when we receive the Eucharist, of course, that's the pinnacle event. When we go to confession, we're reconciled to Him. The church calendar, the rhythms of the Catholic life, that gets us focused on God and off of ourselves. That's really important. Another thing, too, about being smart, I mentioned the Bible earlier. The scriptures tell us that we can gain wisdom simply by asking God for it. Wow, how revolutionary of a concept is that? In James's letter, James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him or to her. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, so we have not stopped praying for you, St. Paul writes. We have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you, and we ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's there for the taking. All we need to do is ask God and trust that He will give us the wisdom that we need for our everyday lives and the decisions that we have to make. And that's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to God's will for our lives. We know God's general will for us, of course, the Ten Commandments. But we do need to apply the general will of God to our particular situation, which is often tricky. That's why spiritual direction is good to help us, and that's why we need to ask God for wisdom for our daily life. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call. And even just praying, even just when we kneel down to pray, that in itself shows a lot of wisdom, because to pray, to get down on our knees, to humble ourselves before God is to admit we don't have all the answers in ourselves. We don't. We are not divine oracles, okay? We're not like the Oracle at Delphi. We don't know everything. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So we need to rely on him. And the church helps us to do that. It's a counter-cultural practice to seek wisdom from God and not in our own human cleverness. The third thing that the church does for us in terms of making us smarter is making us understand that we have limitations. The wisdom of understanding our limitations in a limitless age. And this is the thing, like we need some limitations in life. I remember there was a movie, and it became a TV show later, starring Bradley Cooper. I think it was called Limitless, in which he takes this pill and it just gives him supernatural, you know, wisdom and energy and power. And it's not like that. We're not limitless. We have limits. We may not realize what they are, but we have limits. And the church gives us a limit, and it gives us limits in her teaching and also in the community. And it's almost like our own personal nuclear family. None of us chooses our family. We don't get to choose what family we're born into. That's absolutely the case. And Brett McCracken reminds us of this. He says that the nuclear family that we're born into is not something that we can choose, but it is a great teacher for us in life. It's our first community. Now, there are various, you know, the family is the cell, the building block of society, and some cells are healthy and some are not. And we know this, and you may have had the misfortune of having a broken family situation, and God can heal that, absolutely. But we can't deny that this micro community, if you will, does represent this is that the family, the situation that most shapes who we become. We're not free agents when we come into the world. We're rooted in a family. And it's often, you know, this is a gift. This is a gift. It's not something that we choose, but it can be a gift. And it's the same thing when it comes to our local parish family. The idea of committing oneself to a parish, to a community of people, means that we don't have limitless choices. We don't have to go church shopping every Sunday. And to commit oneself to a local parish, to be grounded there, to be accountable there, provides us some stability in our lives, some spiritual stability, relational stability, reduces the number of variables in our life, which is one less thing to worry about. We can put down roots there, we can grow there, and hopefully be fruitful there. And we can use this to defeat this fear of missing out, this FOMO, restlessness that's everywhere. And some people just never stop moving around. They never find the perfect place. Well, there is no perfect place. There is no perfect parish. But we do have to pick one, I think, and settle into it. So this is one place where the church can help us. The wisdom of limitations in a limitless age. We've got a few more. We got two more. Two more ways that the church can make us smarter in life. I know I need to be smarter. And maybe you do too. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Give me a call if you want to react to any of this. 1-888-914-9149. We'll be back right after this short break.
The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Welcome back to the show. So glad you're with me on this Friday, February the 12th. Valentine's Day is coming up. Hope you're ready. Hope you remember to get something for your loved one. Don't ask me if I did yet or not. I hope nobody's listening. Anyways, So glad to be with you today. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. We're talking about five ways that being part of the church helps make you smarter. And you know what? One way that the church does this as well, we were just talking about how it gives us the wisdom of limitations in a limitless age. Not only is that true when it comes to committing oneself to a parish family, this actual concrete group of people that we're going to grow together with in Christ, but it also provides moral limitations, the church does. So obviously we live in a sort of an anything-goes world when it comes to morality, where we live in a context of relativism, as Pope Benedict XVI called it, the dictatorship of relativism, right and wrong, or merely a matter of personal preference. That's certainly not the case. The church, of course, guided by scripture and sacred tradition, offers clarity to a world on morality. What's clearly okay? What's clearly not okay? And this can be a gift. This can be a gift to people who are looking for, there are a lot of people who are looking for answers in this very confused world in which we live. So we've got a couple more to share with you. The fourth one is the church gives us the wisdom of embodied community in an ethereal age. And we see this ethereal age played out, especially on the internet, and especially, most especially in social media. We're living disembodied lives. And I think that's certainly true when it comes to this COVID world that we're all kind of a part of right now. And social media, as Brett McCracken says, it's attention whiplash. I don't know if you ever felt that way on social media, but I certainly have. One minute we're drawn into some drama happening in Washington. The next minute we see a photo from a friend on Fiji. And then there's a headline about political unrest in Hong Kong. And we sort of bounce from place to place virtually without really being anywhere. And we often forget about the actual place that we're inhabiting and the actual people that are around us. And so we have this illusion of being connected with people. We may have social media followers, but very often we find ourselves lonely and we feel unknown behind all the manipulative filters and layers, the facades that we put up on social media. We can feel involved in causes and issues, but hashtag activism only goes so far, right? I mean, we can voice our support for something, but we're not really getting involved at some level. And when we're constantly exposed to problems in the world that are quote-unquote out there, it gives us a bit of an apocalyptic picture of the world. We can see that we kind of feel like the world is in a very dark place. And certainly there are a lot of pockets of darkness in the world, but we can get a lot of very angry and sometimes depressed about this. And one of the great things about being part of a local parish church is that it lets us get out of ourselves a little bit and get out into the world and see that things aren't always that bad. Yes, there is evil in the world, but there's also a lot of good, and there's a lot of good that we can bring about too. There are problems that we can actually help solve. We can't solve a lot of big geopolitical problems ourselves. We can certainly draw attention to them, but we can actually get involved, physically get connected with people, real people in real places in real communities, not just through our screens. And so the church is an enfleshed community where the filters of life online can fall away. You can be known, you can know others, and you can be known, warts and all. And it's a place where you can find healing, emotional, spiritual, and sometimes even physical healing. And it's uncomfortable to do that with real people, and these are people with flaws, they're sinners like you, and this is all, often though, this is where the rubber meets the road. This can provide us a lot of hope too in a very lonely world. And then the last thing that McCracken talks about is the church gives us the wisdom of continuity, the wisdom of continuity in a constantly changing age. And that can help us get a lot smarter. One of the best parts of being Catholic is that we are part of a group of people and a story that precedes us. It was around for a long, 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 long time before we were ever conceived and born, and it's going to outlive us too. The past and the future matter just as much as the present, maybe even more. And we live in a world that really only thinks about the present moment. We have to find God in the present moment too, be sure. We have to sanctify the present moment. But the church can broaden our horizon and help us see where we are in the grand scope of salvation history. We have two millennia of Catholic wisdom, sacred tradition to draw upon, and the scriptures as well. And we need to mine this. We have this great cloud of witnesses. The letter to the Hebrews talks about this. The saints that have gone before us, they're kind of cheering us on in the stadium of life. They've wrestled with a lot of questions and trials that we face today. In a lot of ways, there's nothing new under the sun. I remember my first week when I was in the Protestant seminary, before I came back into the Catholic Church, I had all these really deep theological questions I thought nobody had ever thought of before. Well, that's one of the first things that you learn, is that you don't really know anything, and any deep question, quote-unquote, that you think you've asked has been asked before, and in a lot more eloquent way, maybe from St. Anselm centuries ago. He said it a lot better than you ever could have. And so we are sometimes guilty of chronological snobbery. We think that we're the smartest generation. We have unique insights. And we need to understand that the church has the wisdom of time. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of all these things. The Holy Spirit, He is the living memory of the bride of Christ. You know, it's just incredible to think about this. And so we, by being part of the church, can be released from the G.K. Chesterton put it this way. He said that the Catholic Church is the only organization in the world that saves a person from the degrading slavery of being a child of their age. That's a great line. The Catholic Church is the only organization that saves a person from the degrading slavery of being a child of their age. And so we need to understand that there is wisdom that has come before us, and the church has a future too that's going to unfold after we're gone. We need not be so concerned with being up on the times. We need to be connected with that which is timeless. Peter Kreeft, great Catholic convert and writer, a former professor of philosophy at Boston College, he says, "The church doesn't read the times." Now, thinking about like the New York Times, the church doesn't read the times. She reads the eternities. She's not concerned about keeping up with the times, trying to change her doctrine to suit the times. Can't do it anyways. We don't have the authority. Peter Kreeft says, you know, a lot of people say, oh, who do you think you are as Catholics? You know, this church thinks it has all this authority over people's lives. And he says, actually, these other organizations, these other churches, quote unquote, they claim to have a lot more authority than the Catholic Church does, because they think they can actually change the teachings of Christ on morality, let's say, or on marriage. We claim no such authority as Catholics. We're not the authors of these teachings. We're not the editors of these teachings. We're simply the mail carriers. We simply pass it on to the next generation intact. That's we're the mailmen. We're the mail women. You know, that's all we can do. Pass it on to the next generation. So the certainty of eternal truths that frees us from the ephemeral, changing, nebulous teachings that are out there in society. Every video, every viral video on the internet is going to be long forgotten, you know, 100 years from now, buried in the ashes of history. The church is going to still be here. So this is really important for us to remember. So just a few thoughts there on how being Catholic can actually make us a lot smarter. We're going to go to the phones right now. Brian is calling from Bangor, Maine. Brian, welcome back to the show. I think you've called before, right?
I have, Cal. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Great. Yes, I have. Yep. And I'm not too far from Nova Scotia. And
that's right.
Those smooth rocks, ice covered right now. But great show, and really I'm getting a lot out of what you're saying on the show. And what thoughts came to my mind was, you know, I recently spoke with an old friend from high school,
mm-hmm.
that's what Bishop Barron refers to as a nun. Some of
yeah.
them doesn't believe in God, and and is fairly firm in that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And is open to just about anything, kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah.
And they have friends that are atheists and don't make judgments. So as I was listening, and I just listened. I was like just kind of being a sponge, and I was, you know, paying attention to how I was feeling about this, and I just felt this inner peace. And I think that this person was, you know, I think they were surprised that I wasn't trying to interrupt them. I wasn't trying to, you know, stop them. I just listened, and the more I listened, I started to feel a little bit saddened for them, but I also felt my faith building as I listened to just how they were describing, you know, their beliefs. And then once that happened, then some thoughts came to me. They recently had some pretty big losses and personal losses in their family, and I was explaining our, you know, how we believe in heaven and, you know, how much, it was just much easier once I just heard them out to explain the faith just really from the heart, from almost like, you know, feeling for them.
Yeah, Brian, I think that's brilliant, actually. What you're saying is so important. And for those listening, as Brian was explaining, he was talking to someone who is classified as a nun. This is what some people refer to as the nuns. These are people who don't believe in anything. They don't claim to have any religious affiliation. They say they don't believe in anything. And they say they're very open-minded in a lot of cases, and they truly are in some cases. And I think what you did, Brian, was really smart, and it was also really caring to simply listen to what this person has to say and not necessarily be so quick to want to jump in with the gospel, or there will be time for that, of course. But I think it's important that people want to be heard, and people, you know, that old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. As cheesy as that is, it's true. It's absolutely true. And very often I find that what happens is when you get somebody a chance, give them a chance to tell you what they believe, what they think about something, they will very often then turn around and ask you, what do you think? And then you have an opportunity to tell them without necessarily, you know, trying to force it, you know, into their lives. They're inviting you to tell them. And so I think that's really important. And I think also, yeah, I mean, I've had many conversations with people where I can't remember anything that they told me, but when they listened to me, I felt heard, I felt understood, and that matters a lot. That really does matter a lot. So I think that's great what you did with your friend there, Brian. That's awesome. And yeah, go ahead.
What really hit them was when I started talking about heaven, and you know, some of the discussions I've heard on Relevant Radio, like, you know, when we're reunited with our bodies, and that you're in that perfect state, almost like at 33 years old, and you're in, you know, there's no flaws and life forever, and that, you know, that we have a roadmap for that, and we totally, you know, thoroughly believe it, and through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and it brought the person to tears just because it connected them with their recent losses.
Yeah, that's so true, and that hope for eternal life has kind of been, the Bible says that God has set eternity in our hearts, and even if they don't profess, you know, openly the Catholic faith, they may not understand it yet, there's something in every human heart that cries out for this, that this truth, we're made for this truth, because it's real, and so this longing for eternity, this longing for heaven, especially in the light of real losses, the loss of a loved one, it's something that our faith definitely speaks to. And it's not a pie in the sky. It's not an empty promise. We're not just trying to make people feel better. This is based on facts. It does make us feel better because it's true, because Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. There's so much evidence for this. We'll talk about this more as we get closer and closer to Easter. But he says, I go and prepare a place for you. And that's the beautiful promise that he has for us. We need to really trust in that and help others see the hope that we have in our faith. So I think that's beautiful, Brian, and keep up the good work, man. And you're doing the work of an evangelist there. So that's great. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that today.
Thank you, Phil.
You got it. Okay, that was Brian calling from Bangor, Maine. And I used to get, when I was growing up in Nova Scotia, that's where our American TV channels came from Bangor, Maine. So I watched a lot of Boston Red Sox games, obviously New England, huge. So there you have it. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Wow. You know what? Another thing that this is quite hopeful as well. We need to give people hope for eternity, and also we need to help them in this world as well. And I don't know if you heard this, but I just found this out today, that there's a Catholic priest that's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize this year. I'm going to tell you about him. This is an amazing story. And this guy's name is, here we go, it's Father Pedro Opica. That is his name. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. He's 72 years old, and he's a priest from Argentina. And I was reading an article about this from the Catholic News Agency. And this guy, Father Pedro, has worked with the poor in Madagascar for more than 30 years, specifically poor people who are actually literally living on a landfill. They live on top of a garbage dump. And this is a terrible scenario, but a lot of people around the world are in these deplorable conditions, and he's tried to help them. So he founded this organization called the Akamasoa Association, and that word means, Akamasoa means good friend. And he's tried to be a good friend to the poor. And he founded this organization in 1989 to help the poorest of the poor who are living in this garbage dump. And the Prime Minister of Slovenia, and his name is Janez Janša, he is actually the one who has nominated Father Pedro for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize. Now, you might say, hang on here, Cale, why is the Prime Minister of Slovenia, of all places, nominating an Argentinian priest for the Nobel Peace Prize? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Well, it'll all be made clear. But anyways, this organization that Father Pedro started, the Akamasoa Association, has provided homes for homeless people, has provided 4,000 brick houses for families, and has also helped to educate 13,000 children and young people through their work. So that's incredible. And Pope Francis actually went there. Pope Francis actually went to Madagascar in September of 2019. I don't know if you remember that trip that he made, but he actually visited this quote-unquote city of friendship that this priest has helped build atop this rubbish dump in the outskirts of the capital city of Antananarivo. Antananarivo, sorry, I can't, I'm terrible with words from Madagascar, but anyways, Antananarivo, I think is the name of the city, but that's where Pope Francis visited in September of 2019. And so this priest, he's got an amazing story. He was actually born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and of course the Pope is from Argentina as well. He was born in 1948. His parents were refugees from Slovenia. So there's the connection with Slovenia there. His parents were refugees from Slovenia who came to Argentina. And after the communist regime took hold there, that's why they went to Argentina. So when Pedro, his name was Pedro Opica, when he was 18 years old, he entered seminary. And 2 years later, he went to Europe to study philosophy, and he went to Slovenia. And he also studied theology in France. And then he spent 2 years as a missionary in Madagascar. In 1975, he was ordained as a priest, and then he went right back the next year to Madagascar, where he has remained to this day. And when he saw the desperate poverty in the capital city there, especially these people living in this massive landfill, this massive garbage dump, there are people living in cardboard boxes, children who have to fight for food against pigs in this garbage dump. It's just deplorable. So he said, I've got to do something about this. So that really started his journey there, and he's founded villages, schools, food banks, small businesses, even a hospital to serve the poor there. And it's been really tough, especially for him during the coronavirus pandemic, because a lot of families have fallen even more into poverty because of all the measures that have had to be taken to deal with the virus. And this priest said, Father Pedro said, the situation is difficult. The poor, especially who have many children, we don't have enough rice. We don't have water. We need water. We need soap. And he said this on Vatican Radio in April of last year. Madagascar is one of the poorest countries in the world. And Pope Francis has really emphasized that richer countries, materially rich countries, should try to cancel the debt of poor countries in light of the pandemic. And Father Pedro certainly supports that idea. He says it's necessary if we want to live in dignity. So he's nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And there's another Catholic who's also nominated this year, a Catholic lawyer who helped to found the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong. His name is Martin Lee Chiu Ming. He's 82 years old, and he's been trying to fight for democracy in Hong Kong for 40 years. So how about that? And so the winner is going to be announced next fall. So it's a great and inspirational story about Father Pedro, who's nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back in just a moment. And don't forget, coming up, it's the week that was. I can't wait to hear what producer Lucas has cooked up for this week. We'll be back right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's our final segment of the week, and coming up in just a few minutes from producer Lucas Holt, it's the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. I can't wait. I never get a sneak preview of this, so it's always a surprise to me, too, to see what he has selected from this week. Had a lot of great shows, and that'll be coming up soon in just a few minutes. And, wow, I'm kind of in shock. I didn't realize that there were puppy matchmakers out there. We were just talking off air, and I was telling producer Karen Moran about my dog Egbert and how he had to go to the vet today. He's got a slipped disc in his neck. That sounds really painful. He's just hasn't been himself lately. And we were talking about her dog Mikey, and Karen said that she has some neighbors who have moved in, and the first thing they said to her was, "Can my dog have puppies with your dog?" I didn't know that people did things like this, but that's really forward. Wow.
No way.
Matchmakers, yes, puppy matchmakers. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know. Everyone wants to marry off their puppy and make sure that they have a happy ever after. But anyways, we need to worry about our kids first as well, right? I mean, yes, so we want our dogs to meet that special someone, but we also want, of course, our children to grow up and be tough-minded people, people of virtue, people of fortitude. And read an interesting article about this, by the way. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Tom Brady, of course, in the news after the Super Bowl, winning the 7th Super Bowl. Well, there's another quarterback who you might have seen a lot on TV. His name is Dan Orlovsky. He used to be pretty much a backup QB for the Detroit Lions and maybe a couple other teams in the NFL. But he's a fantastic analyst for ESPN. He really is amazing at breaking down film. And anyways, I just found this article that he wrote. He's also a dad. And he wrote an article for a website called All Pro Dad. And I'd never seen this website before. And it's about 5 ways to teach your daughter to have grit. And this was definitely of interest to me because I'm a hashtag girl dad. And Dan Orlovsky says he has triplet boys, and he also has a daughter. So imagine that, triplet boys. He says they're fun, they're rambunctious, they're loud. And you can imagine what our poor daughter has to contend with having 3 older brothers. Now, they can be sweet, they can be protective of their baby sister, but a lot of times she's in danger of being run over, and she has to have a level of toughness to make herself heard, fight for her rights, and maybe even survive. And so he talks about how the world that our kids have to go into, it can be a tough one, and it can be especially difficult for girls. And that's why I freaked out when I found out that we were having a girl, because, wow, I thought, man, the world is tough enough, and it's really challenging to be a girl. So they need grit. Girls need grit in order to thrive. So how can we impart that to them? How can we give them determination? How can we give them perseverance and a passion for life and what they want to do? How can we set them up so they have the strength to thrive in this challenging world? Well, it's through teaching grit. So Dan Orlovsky gave us 5 ideas about how to teach our daughters to have grit. And the first thing he says is help her find and nurture her passions. And he says that if a daughter is going to have grit, it's going to start with doing what she loves. You need to help her find what she's passionate about and help her pursue it. And a great place to start is figuring out how, you know, what her talents are. She'll have natural curiosities towards certain subjects in school. She'll have certain abilities that come naturally. So, you know, you need to look at what she's doing, what she's into, and talk to her about pursuing her passions. I know with my daughter, Michaela, She's really wants to be a doctor right now. She, you know, she changes from time to time, but she's got this little medical kit, and I could never have been a doctor. I'm so grossed out by medical stuff. It just, whenever I see operations on TV, I just freak out. So she loves this TV show for kids called Operation Ouch. It's these two brothers, these two doctors in the emergency room, and they just make it really kid-friendly. She loves this stuff. The gore doesn't freak her out at all. And she's got this little doctor's kit. So, yeah, I'm trying to nurture this passion. And, hey, you know, I'll need a doctor to look after me in my old age, to be sure. I think it's also important, I think, for kids to see their parents exercising their passions, too, what they're excited about. And that really can maybe spark something in them, too. Just something to think about there. Dan Orlovsky also says that girls need to learn how to fight their own battles to a certain extent. We want to all protect our daughters as dads and as moms, too, of course. And there are times we need to step in, especially in these sibling disagreements. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's good to step back a little bit and let your kids fight their own battles. They need to build the skills they need to overcome conflict and difficulty. And sometimes they may need our guidance and a little bit of help in this regard. But if they kind of own that experience, that'll help them as they get older and get out into the world. The third thing he says is encourage failure, which sounds counterintuitive, but we can't let our kids, we can't let our girls be afraid of failure. They have to be willing to take risks. And we can't look at failure as failure, it's just a learning experience. We do this in our faith too, right? We fall again and again. We go back to confession. And so failure is part of the journey to success. The fourth thing is teach your girls how to finish strong, completing assignments, completing your chores, not just starting them, not giving up. The last stone is more important. The capstone is more important than the foundation stone. So finishing what we start is really, really important. And think long term. Help her develop a plan for what she wants to accomplish in life. What is she working toward? I think it's so important for parents to do this for their kids. Think about what their long-term goals are. How are you going to get there? Where do you want to be years down the road? Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50? As your kids get older, they need to start planning these things out, or else life is just going to happen to them. They're going to start to drift. So we need to help our kids set goals, and that's certainly true for our girls too. It'll help them to develop grit. So I really like that article. So thanks to Dan Orlovsky for writing that. Well, we've come to the end of the week. We have almost come to the end of the show. So it is time. It is time now for the week that was. Today, the 8th, also the feast day of Josephine Bikita, it's my daughter Michaela's birthday, and she turned 5 today. So happy birthday, Michaela. We love you. Would you eat a McPlant burger, though? Would you eat a McPlant burger?
I would try it, but generally speaking, I like my plants to look and taste like plants, and my burgers to look and taste like burgers.
Are you first with Shanks? He said, yes. I said, sure. And I reached out my hand and said, I just love what you've done. Like, your magazine's the best. And his daughter was right beside him, and he looked at her and he said, I just want you to know, I did not pay this guy to be able to say these kind of things about me.
And I'm joined today on the program by Grace Williams, who is the founder and executive director of Children of the Immaculate Heart. What else can people do who are listening right now to help fight and stop human trafficking in our culture?
You know, it might sound funny, but the most important thing you can do if you are a parent who's listening right now is really to love your children. It's kids who don't actually have an identity. They don't know who they are, because that was never given to them in a loving family situation. So like, the biggest thing you can do to create that resilience in your kid is absolutely to like provide them with the best loving environment that you can.
When Jesus says, I give you my peace I leave to you, I do not give as the world gives. Those words have creative force. This is God speaking. The same God who said, let there be light, and there was light. As Thomas A. Kempis says in his famous book, The Imitation of Christ, it's not important to have a long life. What's important is to have a holy life, no matter how long it may be. I just want to trust your
faithfulness. Praying for people or for things in our life, God will be done. What's the guidance there on praying for something or someone when it's already written and His will be done?
He created us with freedom. We can turn away from what He wants. So we do have to pray. We have to pray for others and for ourselves too, that we too live our lives according to the maxim that's in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done.
You know, the waters, the baths, at Lewis was a really powerful experience for me. Mm. Came back and 6 weeks later, went to the doctor and found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
So I, so I guess you just never underestimate God's plan for you.
Producer Lucas Holt, if you need him. Amazing job, as usual, with the week that was. Man, that takes a lot of work. Folks, you have no idea how much time it takes to find those nuggets and edit that and present it to you every Friday. So, Lucas, man, you nailed it again. Great work, man.
Thanks, man. And if anyone wants to go back and check out, hey, I missed some of these shows, go to relevantradio.com/Kale, C-A-L-E, and you can download all the podcasts there.
Yeah, we had some great shows this week, some great interviews. Grace Williams from Children of the Immaculate Heart, she was really powerful on this topic of human trafficking. And yeah, you caught a hilarious bit from Greg Manette, who called in. We were celebrating the life of Herschel Shanks, who created the Biblical Archaeological Review website and the magazine. He ran into him in a bomb shelter, of all places. Unreal. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So I really want to thank you, Lucas, for putting that together. Thank you for listening. Thank Patrick Alog for screening all the calls. And Karen Moran for work in social media and encouraging me to get my daughter into softball. Apparently, it promotes grit. And speaking of my daughter, take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.